I served in the U.S. Navy as an intelligence specialist, 2002 to 2010, and I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2007. I'm also a USA memory champion, and I held the record for the fastest to memorize a deck of cards in the United States. In 2012, I set out to combine my passion for memory with my passion for our country, military, and those that I served with in Afghanistan. Over the course of a mentally grueling 10 months, I committed to memory the fallen U.S. military from the war in Afghanistan. Their rank, first name, and last name. It's over 7,000 words memorized in the order of their death. Imagine the Vietnam Wall being created in real time in front of your eyes by someone writing the wall out from memory. This is what I do with the Afghanistan War heroes. I write their names one by one. It takes 11 hours to write out the fallen, and it is done simply to say you are not forgotten. As I've traveled the United States with this wall, I've heard the stories of these men and women. I've heard of their selflessness, their heroism, and their lives. I've become a better person by hearing these stories. And here, in this format, it is my honor to share these stories with you. It has been said that the nation that forgets its heroes will also soon be forgotten. This is one of over 2,300 stories from the Afghanistan Memory Wall. It was February 28, 2013, the first time I had ever written out the Afghanistan Memory Wall. As I was writing, I heard a name in the crowd say, Austin Staggs. I continued to write, and I heard again, Austin Staggs. And I turned around and I said, ma'am, Austin Staggs, that's a name that's on this wall. Do you know Austin? And she said, yes, I do. He was my grandson. She was there waiting for that one special name. She had heard on the radio that there was an Afghanistan memory wall being written out in downtown Fort Worth. And when she heard the news on the radio, she turned her car and headed downtown. She was waiting patiently for that one special name, that name so precious to her. She asked me when would I write the name of Private First Class Austin Staggs, her grandson. I told her it would be about 4 hours before I got to that name. She willingly accepted and chose to wait. We provided her with a chair, and she began to wait as she watched me write out the Afghanistan memory wall that day. 4 hours later, I turned around and I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry it took 4 hours, but I'm finally about to write Austin's name. And she said, oh no, I'm glad it took you this long. It gave Austin's mother, Kay, time to arrive. I'll never forget writing Austin's name that day. I had written the Afghanistan memory wall out so many times before in practice, but I had never done it for real, all the way through, and especially with people watching. I began writing the names, and I wrote Sergeant Barry Jarvis. And when I wrote Sergeant Barry Jarvis, he had always been Sergeant Barry Jarvis to me. But I heard Kay say, that's Barry. And then I wrote Staff Sergeant. And before I could write out Curtis Oakes, I heard Kay say, that's Curtis. I continued to write the names, and as I did, she called them by their first names. And it was only in that moment did I realize this isn't Sergeant Barry Jarvis. This isn't Staff Sergeant Curtis Oakes. This is Barry. This is Curtis to them. They're the friends. To me, they were names on the wall until this moment. This moment that humanized the wall for me. I continued to write the names leading up to Private First Class Austin Staggs, Specialist Matthew Ramsey, Private First Class Jacob Gasson. And then it was time to write the name Private First Class Austin Staggs. It was the first time I'd ever written the name with the family behind me. And with his mom on one side and his grandmother on the other, I wrote out the name Private First Class Austin Staggs. It was a powerful moment for me. I turned around and I gave Kay, his mom, a hug. And I gave Marion a hug. And in that moment, the Afghanistan memory wall came to life for me. Kay said it meant so much to her that someone remembered her son's sacrifice, that someone else acknowledged the value of freedom. As a nation, we honor our soldiers. We salute their sacrifice. However, sometimes we need a reminder that there's a mom who misses her little boy that was once dressed up as a clown. She remembers the boy that joined the Cub Scouts and young Marines. The story of a fallen soldier is always tragic. However, the loss of Austin Stagg shocked his family even more, since it was at the hands of a traitor. An Afghan border policeman who is supposed to be on their side. Six American lives slain in a senseless act of violence. Six boys halfway around the world. They say Fort Worth, Texas is where the West begins. The town of Weatherford sits 30 miles further west, and it's where Stagg's called home. There he loved to fish, hunt, and once shot a prized bobcat. His mom considered him an avid reader with a mind for fitness through running. His father, Byram Stagg's, called him a typical all-American kid that loved baseball and his country. His family had a long history of service with uncles, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers that had served. Although a young boy, when 9/11 changed everything, the event burdened him as it did many his age. They studied through middle and high school as the war on terror ramped up and waited their turn. His classmate, Clayton Beecham, had joined the Navy as a corpsman serving in a Marine combat unit. After high school, he looked to the military for several reasons, but considered the need to support his son, Callan, a major factor. Stagg's chose the Army, who put him through airborne school and assignment to the 101st Airborne Division as a fire support specialist. He also had an interest in the infantry and was working toward an invitation to Ranger School. Staff Sergeant Grant Brumlow met him at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and served as his platoon sergeant in the 61st Cavalry, 4th Brigade Combat Team. He considered Stagg's the perfect fit for his job. Known as forward observers, or FISTERS, the fire support team specialists call in artillery and other ordnance strikes against the enemy. Brumlow said that he didn't get excited. You could understand everything he said on the radio. Stagg's slow Texas drawl and calm demeanor gave Brumlow confidence that fire missions were clearly communicated. Their unit, based at Jalalabad Airfield, had conducted dozens of missions in both community relations and searching for enemy forces, the never-ending task of rooting out the Taliban. On November 29, 2010, they worked in the Peshawar Wad Agam district on the Pakistani border. Like many other units, they worked with friendly Afghan forces in coordination against the Taliban or in training them to eventually replace coalition-backed troops. Stagg's was only 96 days into his deployment. On that day, they trained Afghan border police in the art of fire support while testing howitzer rounds. One of the Afghan police trainees had acted strangely that day. He had recklessly shot his AK-47 down into the valley. Through an interpreter, he was reprimanded and stopped. Approximately 45 minutes later, six of the American soldiers and five Afghan border police had climbed up a hill to work on their craft. Grant Brumlow, another sergeant, Jacob Holscher, and the platoon leader were down the hill 50 meters away. The Afghans stopped for tea. American troops are taught to respect and engage in local customs where appropriate. Winning the hearts and minds of a local community remains a sought-after goal in working with indigenous forces. Soldiers working outside of the wire, that is, outside of their base, tend to always be on alert. However, it's not surprising that they may have had somewhat of a relaxed atmosphere with these friendly forces. As they sipped their tea, the same Afghan policeman that had been firing his weapon turned on the six American soldiers. All six, including 19-year-old Austin Stagg's, perished. The other border policemen hit the ground or dove into bunkers. Brumlow and Holscher quickly returned fire. They saw the rogue policeman spin and fall back. As they raced to the hill, they realized they'd killed him, but saw what happened to their friends. A long 20 minutes passed by as the two sergeants and their platoon leader waited for reinforcements to arrive. Sources are mixed as to why the Afghan police committed this heinous act. One source states that the Taliban had enlisted him as a sleeper agent who spent 2 years waiting for his opportunity. Another source suggested he had marital issues and used this as an act of suicide. The other Afghan policemen there claimed they had no idea he was going to do this, but others have suggested they did. Their fate, at the hands of Afghan leadership, is unknown. The truth may never be clear as to the motive, but it's a reminder of the dangers these troops face on a daily basis. "I love that guy like he was my son," Brumlow said. "It remains the toughest day of his life." Through a range of emotions, Father Byram Staggs spoke at an American Legion event about his son and the tragedy that took him. He said, "A father always wants to be there for his children. What makes it especially hard is I was unable to be there for him." His words echo Austin's actions. Byram wanted to be there for his son, and Austin wanted to be there for his son, Callan, a family devoted to service and patriotism. Austin's uncle, Gary Staggs, a former Navy pilot, wrote the poem Forever as a way to comfort Austin's father, Byram. "On some faraway fields, a young soldier falls. It is life-changing, with a reverent silence, more piercing than gunfire, constantly speaking to the soul, leaving a restless peace, unbroken by time, with questions and the love of a father, a son, a brother in arms, that will always remain forever." Like Byram, Austin's mom, Kay Jordan, had heard on the news that 6 soldiers had been killed in Afghanistan. Within a few hours, she learned that her son was one of those 6. "I spent 2 years isolated and unable to function," she said. Eventually, she determined that she could do something for Austin. She could make sure that others remember his sacrifice and became involved in Gold Star causes, including those presenting a great challenge. On September 16, 2017, Kay rode her bicycle into Manhattan towards the 9/11 memorial with fellow cyclist and Gold Star parent Mike Parrish. They began their journey on June 11th of that year in San Diego, biking thousands of miles to bring awareness of their son's sacrifice. Their passion in spreading awareness of what Gold Star families have experienced energized them to log 50 miles per day. For this endeavor, she partnered with Legacies Alive, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting Gold Star families and raising national awareness of those that have fallen. Wherever Kay and Mike traveled, they made sure everyone that asked knew why they rode. When so many have asked why she rides, she always provides the same answer: "I ride because I will not let my son be forgotten." In addition, she's working with other Gold Star parents that live in Weatherford, Texas, to create a memorial in a local park. They intend to honor 6 young men, including Austin, who gave their lives to service to their country. Her efforts continue to inspire other Gold Star parents. These families share a bond that many of us will never know. It's a bond that remembers their son or daughter, a passion to make sure they are not forgotten, to remember that little child dressed up as a clown. February 28, 2013 was the day that I had met Kay. And after I had completed writing the wall, she said, "Man, Ron, your arm must be tired. I'm a massage therapist. Allow me to give you a massage in the next couple days to help your arm and back recover." Shortly thereafter, I arrived at Kay's home for that massage. We talked a little bit about the wall, about Austin and his sacrifice, and his son, Callan. During the massage, she told me how grateful she was that Austin had a son, Callan. After the massage was complete, we went into Austin's room. She had left it almost exactly as he had left it prior to his deployment. I saw the things you might see in any young boy's room. I saw signs of patriotism, signs of fun, signs of friends and family. As I was leaving his room that day, I stopped dead in my tracks, and there it was before me, a picture of Austin. Austin was in his military uniform, and he was looking right back at me. And it was just, I stopped, I looked at it, And it was the first time that the wall became so real to me. Up until this point, it had been the Afghanistan memory wall, 2,300 names of heroes. But now, it was a person. And standing there in the room that day, Kay told me about her son. She told me about the day that he made the ultimate sacrifice. He told me all the details. I could see the tear and the passion and the pain in her eyes. And in that moment, I also had tears in my eyes. It was the first time that I had ever shed a tear in regards to the Afghanistan memory wall. I stood there, I looked at Austin, and I made a promise to myself that I would continue to honor him as long as my brain is healthy, along with all the other heroes with the Afghanistan memory wall. I eventually met Callan, his son, and I told him, "Callan, your daddy was a hero, and I will spend my life honoring him with the Afghanistan memory wall." Private First Class Austin Staggs will always have a very special place in my heart.